Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It's wonderful Wednesday, March 12th, 2014. My friends, another great day to be alive. Can you believe it? We have another day in front of us. We have more time to gather up and invest in ourselves and invest in our families and invest in our businesses. We've got more time to do some thinking, some dreaming, some more time to do some planning, some more time to gain some skills, some more time to smile, some more time to appreciate our children and the people around us. Isn't it such a gift, my friends, such a gift to be alive? Guys, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be moving forward in the direction that we're moving forward. You know, I heard something profound this morning. I was listening to Dr. Napoleon Hill in his own voice this morning, listening to that great man do some teaching and share some knowledge. And this morning what he was teaching me, he was talking about the definite major purpose. And gosh, boy, do we talk about that, right? Every day for over 3 years, we've been talking about the definite major purpose, the self-confidence formula. You know, we all who have even studied this for a little while, we understand that definite major purpose is the starting point of all achievement, right? We get that, right? We understand that. Well, today I learned something a little bit new about the definite major purpose that I want to share with you guys here in the introductory part of the call. You know, Dr. Napoleon Hill was talking about having a definite major purpose set up for your entire life. And he said, this is what he said. He said your life's definite major purpose should be something that you will be happy leaving behind as a monument for you having passed this way. I thought about that for a moment, you know, and the word legacy comes to mind. And I thought about my life, and I thought about, you know, what when I leave this earth, what is going to be left behind as a monument for me having passed this way? And you know what's interesting is I have some financial goals, right? I have some investment goals, and sometimes it seems that sometimes our focus tends to, you know, go to these financial goals and these investment goals and things. And, you know, when I thought about my life's definite major purpose this morning in that light, in the light that Dr. Napoleon Hill shared with me, you know, as far as leaving, what will be a monument to my having passed this way, all of a sudden, the money, the investments, the, you know, different financial things that I might be able to accomplish kind of drifted off into a little bit of insignificance as I started to think about, no, what's really going to be left behind, right? What's really going to be left behind? What legacy am I going to leave? How many lives am I going to impact? How many lives will be a little bit better because I passed this way? Now, that's not to say that the financial stuff isn't important. And fortunately, my friends, fortunately, most of us are in a profession, those of us who are in the home business profession, where our financial goals kind of represent a lot more than money, right? And being able to help somebody generate enough income that they can quit their job if they want to quit their job, that they can pay off their debt if they want to pay off their debt, that they can have more time to be with the people that they care about, whether it's, you know, their friends, their family, their children. That's freedom, right? Delivering to somebody freedom. And as I think about, you know, being in the home business profession, how many people are we going to help win their freedom, right? When we leave, when we walk through the gate that stands there at the end of all of our lives, and we look back, you know, what are we going to be proud of? What is going to be there? What's going to be there standing tall as a monument for us having passed this way? And again, I don't know all the answers. I just know that that thought inspires me, and that thought causes me to maybe think of a few different things in addition to having a monetary goal, right? Now, we know we got to have a monetary goal. That's one of the first things I think that all of us should strive for is having enough pipeline money to win our freedom so that we can then invest even more time, right, in leaving a legacy. And it's not to say we got to be rich to leave a legacy, right? We can leave legacies in many different ways, but isn't it exciting to know, my friends, that today, on this seemingly average, ordinary day, which is Wednesday, March 12th, 2014, isn't it amazing that we can ponder what it means to leave a legacy? And today, we can do something about it, right? Today, we can set new goals. Today, we can think new thoughts. Today, we can think new actions. And what we do today, and what we think today, and what we dream today will go into determining what kind of a monument we leave to our having passed this way. So just a little something extra that I learned on the definite major purpose that I wanted to share with you guys and gals. And I want to know who else is excited about leaving a legacy. I want to know who else is excited about, you know, lives being changed for your having passed this way. You know, Kevin Souza, I posted yesterday, on Facebook, and gosh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it, but I posted yesterday on Facebook, you know, we were talking about having a creed, and I asked in the post who has a creed and what is your creed, right? And Kevin Souza, okay, here it is. I'm just finding it in my email. Check this out, what Kevin Souza wrote. My creed is to graciously help make a difference in at least one person's life every day that I am blessed and grateful to live another day. Friends, does that not seem like a creed that's leaving a legacy for that man, right? For that man, a monument to his having passed this way, affecting one, make a difference in one at least one person's life every day that he lives. Kevin, appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for setting such a great example. My friends, we can all do this, right? We can all leave a legacy. And guys, if that excites you, if being alive excites you, I want to hear you screaming at the phone as I unmute the lines right now. All right. Well, hey, that sounds great. You guys were a little slow off the draw this morning, but you came through in the end with a lot of excitement and enthusiasm. So appreciate that, and thanks for doing that. You know, one of the other things here before we jump into our chapter, as we close out this chapter 11 in Think and Grow Rich, one of the other things that Dr. Napoleon Hill was talking about this morning as far as being able to fulfill your life's purpose, he was talking about the importance of having harmony in your relationships. And specifically, he said, harmony with your spouse. And he said, is that, or your significant other, right? He said, is that not the most important mastermind relationship that you have? And what can you do to have harmony in your relationship with your significant other, in my case, with my wife, right? And I was thinking about that this morning. And Dr. Napoleon Hill said, you know, in some cases you may have to win them over again. In some cases you may have to go through the whole courting process again, right? And I was thinking about that harmony in relationships and how important is that. And as we all think about that, do we have room for improvement in those areas? I know for me, absolutely. And I was thinking of some new ideas and things that I could do to improve the harmony that's in my relationship. It's important that we have harmony in relationships, right? With our spouse, with our significant other, with our family members, and also with the people that we work with. And it's one of the things that amazes me about this call is we have people on this call from many different companies, right, in the home business profession. You know, Dustin does such a great job on our intros, right? Dustin and I work together in some stuff and work separately in some stuff. And you know what? That's cool. Dustin does the intros, right? We work together, just like a lot of people on this call are in different companies. I think that's such a great example of how we can all be better in our lives with our spouses, with our significant others, with our children, you know, different different churches working together, different political groups working together, right? Harmony in human relationships, I think, is the oil that's going to grease the engine that's going to get us to the fulfillment of our definite major purpose in life. And today we're going to learn a little bit more deeply as to how we can improve that harmony in that most important relationship that we have, and also we're going to understand how that is a critical piece to propelling us on to having the success that we all have waiting for us in the future. So we're finishing out chapter 11, which is entitled Sex Transmutation, right? And if you're just joining us today for the first time, don't let that word scare you off. Challenge you to go back and read the first part of chapter 11. But we are on page 173 at the bottom in the ebook, which you can pick up a copy at our website, thinkandgrowrichaudios.com, at the free download section. And let's go ahead and jump into this. He's talking about James J. Hill, and he actually just finished talking about how Henry Ford did not hit his pace of achievement until he had passed the age of 40. He says Andrew Carnegie was the same, and then he says James J. Hill was still running a telegraph at the age of 40. His stupendous achievements took place after that age. Biographies of American industrialists and financiers are filled with evidence that the period from 40 to 60 is the most productive age of man. Between the ages of 30 and 40, man begins to learn, if he ever learns, the art of sex transmutation. This discovery is generally accidental, and more often than otherwise, the man who makes it is totally unconscious of his discovery. He may observe that his powers of achievement have increased around the age of 35 to 40, but in most cases, he is not familiar with the cause of his change. That nature begins to harmonize the emotions of love and sex in the individual between the ages of 30 and 40 so that he may draw upon these great forces and apply them jointly as stimuli to action. Sex alone is a mighty urge to action, but its forces are like a cyclone. They are often uncontrollable. When the emotion of love begins to mix itself with the emotion of sex, the result is calmness of purpose, poise, accuracy of judgment, and balance. What person who has attained to the age of 40 is so unfortunate as to be unable to analyze these statements and to corroborate them by his own experience? When driven by his desire to please a woman, based solely on the emotion of sex, a man may be and usually is capable of great achievement, but his actions may be disorganized, distorted, and totally destructive. When driven by his desire to please a woman, based upon the motive of sex alone, a man may steal, cheat, and even commit murder. But when the emotion of love is mixed with the emotion of sex, that same man will guide his actions with more sanity, balance, and reason. Criminologists have discovered that the most hardened criminals can be reformed through the influence of a woman's love. There is no record of a criminal having been reformed solely through the sex influence. These facts are well known, but their cause is not. Reformation comes, if at all, through the heart or the emotional side of man, not through his head or reasoning side. Reformation means a change of heart. It does not mean a change of head. A man may, because of reason, make certain changes in his personal conduct to avoid the consequences of undesirable effects, but genuine reformation comes only through a change of heart, through a desire to change. And is it interesting to anyone else but me, this line, coming from the mindset man himself, Dr. Napoleon Hill, right? Think and grow rich. Think and grow rich, right? The title of the book, and he says this. Reformation means a change of heart. It does not mean a change of head. Isn't that interesting? Coming from the author of Think and Grow Rich, something to ponder maybe. Love, romance, and sex are all emotions capable of driving men to heights of superachievement. Love is the emotion which serves as a safety valve and ensures balance, poise, and constructive effort. When combined, these three emotions may lift one to an altitude of a genius. There are genii, however, who know but little of the emotion of love. most of them may be found engaged in some form of action which is destructive, or at least not based upon justice and fairness toward others. If good taste would permit, a dozen genii could be named in the field of industry and finance who ride ruthlessly over the rights of their fellow men. They seem totally lacking in conscience. The reader can easily supply his own list of such men. The emotions are states of mind. Nature has provided people with a chemistry of the mind, which operates in a manner similar to the principles of chemistry of matter. It is a well-known fact, through the aid of chemistry of matter, a chemist may create a deadly poison by mixing certain elements, none of which are in themselves harmful in the right proportions. The emotions may likewise be combined so as to create a deadly poison. The emotions of sex and jealousy, when mixed, may turn a person into an insane beast. The presence of any one or more of the destructive emotions in the human mind, through the chemistry of the mind, sets up a poison which may destroy one's sense of justice and fairness. In extreme cases, the presence of any combination of these emotions in the mind may destroy one's reason. The road to genius consists in the development, control, and use of sex, love, and romance. Briefly, the process may be stated as follows. Encourage the presence of these emotions as the dominating thoughts in one's mind, and discourage the presence of all the destructive emotions. The mind is a creature of habit. It thrives upon the dominating thoughts fed it. Through the faculty of willpower, one may discourage the presence of any emotion and encourage the presence of any other. Control of the mind through the power of the will is not difficult. Control comes from persistence and habit. The secret of control lies in understanding the process of transmutation. When any negative emotion presents itself in one's mind, it can be transmuted into a positive or constructive emotion by the simpler procedure of changing one's thoughts. There is no other road to genius than through voluntary self-effort. A person may attain to great heights of financial or business achievement solely by the driving force of sex energy. But history is filled with evidence that he may, and usually does, carry with him certain traits of character which rob him of the ability to either hold or enjoy his fortune. This is worthy of analysis, thought, and meditation. For it states a truth, the knowledge of which may be helpful to women as well as men. Ignorance of this has cost thousands of people their privilege of happiness, even though they possessed riches. The emotions of love and sex leave their unmistakable marks upon the features. Moreover, these signs are so visible that all who wish may read them. The man who is driven by the storm of passion based upon sex desires alone plainly advertises that fact to the entire world by the expression of his eyes and the lines of his face. The emotion of love, when mixed with the emotion of sex, softens, modifies, and beautifies the facial expression. No character analyst is needed to tell you this. You may observe it for yourself. The emotion of love brings out and develops the artistic and the aesthetic nature of man. It leaves its impress upon one's very soul, even after the fire has been subdued by time and circumstance. Memories of love never pass. They linger, guide, and influence long after the source of stimulation has faded. There is nothing new in this. Every person who has been moved by genuine love knows that it leaves enduring traces upon the human heart. The effect of love endures, because love is spiritual in nature. The man who cannot be stimulated to great heights of achievement by love is hopeless. He is dead, though he may seem to live. Even the memories of love are sufficient to lift one to a higher plane of creative effort. The major force of love may spend itself and pass away, like a fire which has burned itself out, but it leaves behind indelible marks as evidence that it passed that way. Its departure often prepares the human heart for a still greater love. Go back into your yesterdays at times and bathe your mind in the beautiful memories of past love. It will soften the influence of the present worries and annoyances. It will give you a source of escape from the unpleasant realities of life. And maybe, who knows, Your mind will yield to you during this temporary retreat into the world of fantasy. Ideas or plans which may change the entire financial or spiritual status of your life. If you believe yourself unfortunate because you have loved and lost, perish the thought. One who has loved truly can never lose entirely. Love is whimsical and temperamental. Its nature is ephemeral and transitory. It comes when it pleases and goes away without warning. Accept and enjoy it while it remains, but spend no time worrying about its departure. Worry will never bring it back. Dismiss also the thought that love never comes but once. Love may come and go, times without number, but there are no two love experiences which affect one in just the same way. There may be, and there usually is, one love experience which leaves a deeper imprint on the heart than all the others, but all love experiences are beneficial, except to the person who becomes resentful and cynical when love makes its departure. There should be no disappointment over love, and there would be none if people understood the difference between the emotions of love and sex. The major difference is that love is spiritual, while sex is biological. No experience which touches the human heart with a spiritual force can possibly be harmful except through ignorance or jealousy. Love is, without question, life's greatest experience. It brings one into communication with infinite intelligence. When mixed with the emotions of romance and sex, it may lead one far up the ladder of creative effort. The emotions of love, sex, and romance are sides of the eternal triangle of achievement-building genius. Nature creates genii through no other force. Love is an emotion with many sides, shades, and colors. The love which one feels for parents or children is quite different from that which one feels for one's sweetheart. The one is mixed with the emotion of sex, while the other is not. The love which one feels in true friendship is not the same as that felt for one's sweetheart, parents, or children, but it too is a form of love. Then there is the emotion of love for things inanimate, such as the love of nature's handiwork. But the most intense and burning of all these various kinds of love is that experienced in the blending of the emotions of love and sex. Marriage is not blessed with the eternal affinity of love, properly balanced and proportioned with sex, cannot be happy ones, and seldom endure. Love alone will not bring happiness in marriage, nor will sex alone. When these two beautiful emotions are blended, marriage may bring about a state of mind closest to the spiritual that one may ever know on this earthly plane. When the emotion of romance is added to those of love and sex, the obstructions between the finite mind of man and infinite intelligence are removed. Then a genius has been born. What a different story is this than those usually associated with the emotion of sex. Here is an interpretation of the emotion which lifts it out of the commonplace and makes of it potter's clay in the hands of God, from which he fashions all that is beautiful and inspiring. It is an interpretation which would, when properly understood, bring harmony out of the chaos which exists in too many marriages. The disharmonies often expressed in the form of nagging may usually be traced to lack of knowledge on the subject of sex. Where love, romance, and the proper understanding of the emotion and function of sex abide, there is no disharmony between married people. Fortunate is the husband whose wife understands the true relationship between the emotions of love, sex, and romance. When motivated by this holy triumvirate, no form of labor is burdensome, because even the most lowly form of effort takes on the nature of a labor of love. It is a very old saying that, quote, a man's wife may either make him or break him, close quote. But the reason is not always understood. The making and breaking is the result of the wife's understanding or lack of understanding of the emotions of love, sex, and romance. Despite the fact that men are polygamous by the very nature of their biological inheritance, it is true that no woman has as great an influence on a man as his wife, unless he is married to a woman totally unsuited to his nature. If a woman permits her husband to lose interest in her and become more interested in other women, it is usually because of her ignorance or indifference toward the subject of sex, love, and romance. This statement presupposes, of course, that genuine love once existed between a man and his wife. The facts are equally applicable to a man who permits his wife's interest in him to die. Married people often bicker over a multitude of trivialities. If these are analyzed accurately, the real cause of the trouble will be found to be indifference or ignorance on these subjects. Man's greatest motivating force is his desire to please woman. The hunter who excelled during prehistoric days before the dawn of civilization did so because of his desire to appear great in the eyes of woman. Man's nature has not changed in this respect. The hunter of today brings home no skins of wild animals, but he indicates his desire for her favor by supplying fine clothes, motor cars, and wealth. Man has the same desire to please woman that he had before the dawn of civilization. The only thing that has changed is his method of pleasing. Men who accumulate large fortunes and attain to great heights of power and fame do so mainly to satisfy their desire to please women. Take women out of their lives and great wealth would be useless to most men. It is this inherent desire of man to please woman which gives woman the power to make or break a man. The woman who understands man's nature and tactfully caters to it need have no fear of competition from other women. Men may be, quote, giants, close quote, with indomitable willpower when dealing with other men, but they are easily managed by the women of their choice. Most men will not admit that they are easily influenced by the women they prefer, because it is in the nature of the male to want to be recognized as the stronger of the species. Moreover, the intelligent woman recognizes this, quote, manly trait, close quote, and very wisely makes no issue of it. Some men know that they are being influenced by the women of their choice, their wives, sweethearts, mothers, or sisters, but they tactfully refrain from rebelling against the influence because they are intelligent enough to know that no man is happy or complete without the modifying influence of the right woman. The man who does not recognize this important truth deprives himself of the power which has done more to help men achieve success than all other forces combined. So, my friends, there we have the final pages of the mysterious chapter on sex transmutation. And I personally really enjoy these last few pages. You know, they inspire me to recognize that truly, as he said, spiritual, right? He said love is spiritual in nature. And as he was encouraging me to go back and think about the different times I've experienced great love, I don't know if you guys and gals were thinking about different experiences in your life when Dr. Napoleon Hill was guiding our thoughts there, but I thought back to when I asked my wife to marry me, and we were in a room, and I had given her this little picture book that had different pictures of our courtship, you know, different experiences that we've had, and then the last picture was a picture of a road going off into the sunset. And I had written there something to the effect of, you know, I'm excited to continue this journey of life and invest the rest of my life with you. And I knelt down on my knee and I pulled out the ring and I asked her to marry me. And as I think about that experience, I'm filled with love. I'm filled with love. And it inspires me, and it just lifts me up, right? And this is something that we can use, right? Love and harmony in our relationships. I think Dr. Napoleon Hill was pretty accurate in pointing out the power of these forces. So let's go ahead and jump into the mastermind portion of the call. I'm excited to hear your thoughts, my friends. Keep in mind it's not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are a part of our community. And excited to hear your thoughts. Just one second here. Star 6, who's first?
Hi, Paul. This is Marion from Lancaster, New York.
Good morning.
Good morning. I don't often get the chance to actually get out of here, but your story about going over the pictures, when my husband was sick, that is one of the things that brought him the most joy, was when we pull out all our photo albums in the hospital room and sit there and go through those pictures. So, yeah, guys, that can bring a lot of joy. And create harmony in the middle of some of the greatest stress you may ever, ever know. That's it for this morning.
Thanks, Marion. Such a great insight. Jim Rohn said one of the things you want to leave behind is your journals and your pictures, right? He said your pictures. He said take lots of pictures. I wonder how many of us are taking that advice. Appreciate that, Marion. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Well, good morning, my friend. Hi, Mr. Hutchins. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Rick?
Man, I'm really incredibly fantastic. It's so exciting. You know, I've been kicking back the last couple of days and sucking up all this fantastic information on sex transmutation, and it allowed me to reflect back on, you know, just life in general, you know, and it's so exciting, the information and the participation. It's really brought me back to the early school days, you know, because I was a really curious, very excited guy about school and learning, and I was in that position the last few days on this call, probably more so than any other time, because I think it's real, and I can feel people searching. And I can tell you that's probably when you get into this part when people are kind of confused and uncertain but still searching, it bring about a certain amount of excitement, because you're not really – you know there's a gem there somewhere. You know something is going on because – you know, something is touching you inside, deep inside, but you don't quite sure know what it is. And I feel that this subject, this chapter, does that to you. And when you talked about Napoleon Hill and the things that he talked about in terms of leaving a legacy, a mission, and what your major definite purpose, let's say your mission statement in life is, because he created what you would say from his younger days to his later days, a new map. A different, more well-developed consciousness. And my friends, we're doing that on this call. So I appreciate Napoleon Hill. I appreciate everyone on this call. My friend, back to you. Another day filled with opulence.
Great thoughts, Rick. Appreciate that, my friend. Did I hear Ray Britt, Coach Ray, coming out? Someone was coming out with Rick. Who is that? Star 6, come on out. Everyone's got stars in their eyes thinking about love.
Good morning. Anthony from New Jersey. Good morning, Paul Thingberger's family.
Hey, good morning, Anthony.
Oh, man. Sex transmutation. A woman really, this subject is really, it's powerful because a woman really develops a man, and when you feel love, you do things the right way. But when you don't feel love, it's not love there, you know, you're always frustrated. You can't, your mind is not going in the right direction. You got other things on your mind. But when you have that love and, you know, that harmony with the significant other or even friends, you know, it makes you excel because for some reason, us as humans, that's just how it is. And the sex mutation comes when even you were doing in your business, in your work, whatever you're doing throughout the day, when you feel love, you actually even have a sex with whatever you're doing. And if you get a chance, give me the link to the Facebook group so I can see you guys on Facebook group. This call is really developing me because it's like I'm having a sex mutation with this call. Okay, this call is giving me understanding of something, and it's causing like a sex mutation. You know, me combining with this call and making a result out of it, getting something out of it. You know, so and it becomes love. I love this call. You know, so it's really developing me. I've been struggling. I've been trying to figure out a lot of things for a long time, and I knew it was always there, but I just couldn't get it. So when I start having that sex transmutation, you know, things start coming different to me, you know. So, I mean, it's a very lifelong experience, and it feels good, and it don't take that long, but just keep going and keep having sex. And oh, I don't want to offend anybody that like that, but it's, I mean, some people might not understand it, okay, but as you keep going in your study and keep on and be persistent, things are starting to come to light for you because it's happening. All right, so thanks, Paul. Thank you, Grow Rich family, and go out there and you take some things.
Thanks, Anthony. You can get in our Facebook group by going to thinkandgrowrichaudios.com, and there's a link below the video to connect with Dustin, and you'll add you into the group.
That's right. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Dustin.
Yeah, that's what great timing. Don't things always seem to work out around this call when they were meant to be? Because absolutely, I'll take care of you. And, hey, I wanted to share something about love. You know, I think this can help everyone out a lot. When I was first starting this call, I wasn't in love with much, you know, not to mention even myself. So at times when we get to this point of the call and certain things when we focused on love, especially right around these chapters, you know, I would always just put my defense saying that I don't need love. I'm a powerful person without it because, you know, I'm Dustin. I can break through anything. And you know, obviously that's not the case because now as obviously I'm getting a little older, but I'm way more adept in my study of this, that love to me now has been paired with so many things. One that I noticed that really motivates me, the more I love something, the more I love my relationships with family and people that I've gone out with or going out with, whatever that may be, my dogs, my horses, love for people that have passed away. You see, now I've noticed that this love is also paired with gratitude. And I know I go back to gratitude a lot, but in my world, that's where it starts. So it's so neat to think about the more you're in love with, let's say, a special relationship, your husband, your wife, aren't you more grateful for them? You know, when you sit back and think about that, the two become an unstoppable force. So when we do love what we do, our subconscious and our mind still, we trigger off those same emotions and the same thoughts of us conquering anything. So absolutely to be in love with everything that we do, everything that we're about, I'm in love with the fact that I get to help people every day in my business. I'm in love with the fact that I have an incredible life. So love to me has opened up, you know, just like a flower in the spring that's approaching us. The petals of love have just multiplied. And I'm telling you, my friends, it's such a neat thing to know that we can help people by spreading love. We can help people change their lives by helping them, and we'll be paid handsomely in return and thus been able to do it for more people. Wow, that excites me, and I can even get excited talking about love. That's how excited I am about life. But I just wanted to share that because it seems the more that I get deeper in my study of personal development, the more I hear the stories and I learn from everyone on this call every day, the more that love seems to come into play in my life and is a big reason that I'm successful and I will continue to be successful. So, hey, my friends, have the best of days today. And thanks a lot, Paul.
Dustin, we love you, man. Thanks for sharing that with us. Star 6, who's next?
Yeah,
Karen
from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Karen, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Paul. Good morning, everybody. I love you all. This is such a great mastermind call. I love it. My idea about love comes from, you know, being a woman, okay, and I love the way, you know, this book talks about love and the use of love. But my background in love came through my Christian faith. And when I realized that God made a way for me and made room for me, or the universe, you know, planned things out for me. So it started with that foundation of that someone loved me or something loved me. And then I started reading an interesting book in Scripture called The Song of Solomon, and I saw this whole love thing going on. And this, for me, you know, made me have this love relationship with God that was, like, unique, different than the standard thing. I was so in love with God, almost like in a human way, that I thought, this isn't like, I don't know, this isn't going to work, because God's like God, so I can't have the kind of relationship that I want. So I took that kind of love, and I envisioned a future with a human like that, and my desire for that was very, very great. And I attracted into my life someone who is satisfying that. And I said to myself, I wrote a song about Shall We Dance, it's called. And it talks about the dance and the movement of a man, and I guess this gets into the whole idea of romance, of a man putting his arm around my back and gently moving me back and forth, and we move back and forth. And it's that give and take in a relationship. And it just made me want to, I wrote a poem about, like, you know, just transcending the earthliness of just, you know, sex into a gloriousness of true, you know, glory by that sexual act, bringing glory to God in it. And since then, I've seen, you know, different people talking about these kinds of things and, you know, in groups and so forth. But I just wanted to share that, you know, my foundation in it came from that love for God and then love for myself. And so that's kind of, I mean, I'm not really getting into the business aspect of it, but that's my input right now today. So that's it for now. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, thanks, Karen. Appreciate those thoughts and insights. Really do.
Hi, Paul.
Appreciate that. Yeah, good morning.
This is Linda from Georgia.
Linda.
Good morning, everybody. One thought I had was that the caller that just spoke, I so agreed with her. And I also think this book needs to be taught to teenagers. Not just read, but talked. And I don't think I can talk about it, but my husband died in 2008. And since then, I find myself relying more on the Lord to give me what I need in my life. And so far, He's given me the drive to succeed in the business that I'm in. You know, when I think about somebody else coming into my life, it says that I would have to focus on another person. And that doesn't seem to be where I'm led or what I would even think I wanted to do at this point. Well, for one reason, I have several children that I have to financially support, and it's sort of like they've given me the human drive to push forward. So, you know, I really think the subject is so deep, you know, and God does play such an important role in it that I just wish all kids were taught this book too. It's not up to the schools to do it, but it's up to parents to do it. Thank you.
Hey, Linda, I want to say thank you for coming out and sharing, and you know, but we love you and we appreciate you, and those are great thoughts, and you know, when we were talking in the first part of the call about leaving a legacy. For me, I won't go into great detail about what comes to mind for me, but for me, it does have to do with kids, and it does have to do with getting this information that we study on this call more into the hands of children, just like you just said. And, you know, obviously no one person can do it all by themselves. Think about the opportunity there is in the world to do that, right? So as we're all thinking about leaving a legacy, maybe we can consider and ponder what Linda just shared with us and see an opportunity there, right? So thank you, Linda. Appreciate that. One second. Star 6, who's next?
Dan Dunedin.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Step outside since I have guests. helping a family. One of the big things about what she just said is very valid. We do have to truly, as Fraggle Rock from the Muppets and the history of that, down at Fraggle Rock, you know, you got to love yourself. But more importantly, as we love ourselves, we have to love our future self. And our future self is, quite honestly, if we break it down, the future of the world, the teenagers. And so as we find joyous approaches to attract teenagers to the reading of this book, just like bump, bump, bump down at Fraggle Rock and all those other unique little ways and philosophies, we can probably share with a passion so that they become highly interested in those types of books. All we have to do is fold it in a way, just like we prepare an omelet, so that it is received with warmth and anticipation. And I believe all of us, in all our unique coverage throughout the world listening to this call, have an opportunity to create that to the youth that are in their counties, and therefore have an opportunity to really make, how should I say it, brilliance to all. Back to you.
Great thoughts, Dan. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Star 6 is next.
Russ in Kansas City.
Yeah, is that Russ?
Yeah, this is Russ in Kansas City.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. This this part of this, the chapter in the book reminds me that we need to have an overall balance in our life. And a lot of us are focused on our business and success and these kind of things. And we'll just say that people that are not in this group that are focused on their career, and we talked about it in other chapters, and you get that focus and that drive, but if you miss this part of it, then you don't have a balance in your life. And I can say that I've been married for 34 years, and that is, to me, is one of my accomplishments, that we have four children and grandchildren, and my legacy, that I have a love with my wife that I can share, that other people can see that in us. And part of that is having a little bit of balance in your life with your between your business and everything else that's going on. And this is just a piece of the puzzle. So, you know, sort of keep that in perspective. And this is Russ, and back to you, Paul.
Hey, Russ, super admirable and agree. Thank you for sharing that. Great, great wisdom there. Star 6.
Good morning, Paul.
Next? Yes.
Good morning. Hey, it's Evan from Utah.
What's
from
up, Evan? Good morning.
Richmond, Virginia.
Hey, not much, man. I just wanted to comment real quick. I was really, with your opening remarks there about how you had this turning point, I guess you could say, where you could see that all the money and the things that you're in your life were pretty much insignificant compared to the relationships that you were developing with between your wife and your children and, you know, so forth. And it reminded me of a something that I heard about 15 years ago. And when I first heard it, I didn't fully grasp the understanding because I wasn't yet married and didn't have kids of my own. But this this quote that I heard was by a man by Dallin Oaks, and he actually said, "The love that exists between a man and a woman, or between a husband and wife, and between parents and children, here are the source of some of the greatest happinesses here on earth." And since being married for now over 8 years, having, you know, wife of my own and three children, I can testify to the truthfulness of that statement, because the last 8 years, you know, there's been a lot of ups and downs, you know, but the happiness that I have seen and shared in my own personal life between my wife and my children are seriously some of the greatest sources of happiness that I've ever experienced in this life, and it just keeps getting better and better.
Hey, yeah. Guys and gals, someone was breathing heavily in the phone. Please make sure you're muted if you're not speaking. Hold on, Evan. Evan, Star 6, come back and finish out that thought if you don't mind.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so just saying that, you know, some of these, the greatest sources of happiness are between your husband and wife, between parents and children. And so why would you not want to nourish that And it just makes me even more motivated to continue to build that relationship, because that's one of the only things that you're going to be able to take with you in the next life. And that's what I truly believe. And so why not, you know, build that and take the time to make sure you nourish those relationships to experience that love and joy. So thanks for the info, Paul, and inspiration, and back to you.
Thank you, Evan. Thank you. Great thoughts. There was a lady from Richmond. Who is that? Star 6, come on out.
Caroline.
Yes, good morning. Caroline?
Yes, Caroline in Virginia. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just want to tell you, I just love this chapter, and I think it is to me the epitome, the driving energy and force for all the things that we talk about and strive for. I mean, it's the love, the passion, the commitment that we have for, you know, my husband, of course, and my teenage boys. But it goes beyond that. You know, it's also for helping others and working with others and touching their lives in a positive way with our businesses. But I just, you know, it's funny. We've been married almost 23 years, and last year we had a lot of challenges about this time of year. And it actually was through Keith and I listening to these calls together daily that we decided, he decided that he would write me a letter, a little love letter every day, and he's done so since June last year. And they have become, it's just such a wonderful way to start your day. You know, it's a written confirmation. It's changed our focus from our challenges to our love and our gratefulness. It's hard to talk about. It's so wonderful. And I just want to say thank you to all of you, particularly you, Paul. Thank you.
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Caroline, for sharing that with us. And what a great example your husband is setting for all of us. Wow, amazing. Wow. Star 6, who's next?
John Weiss.
Ebony.
Bill, good morning. Yeah,
good
Bill, and then Ebony. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, family. This is a great, great chapter. This morning when I got up, I was inspired to write about the late, great Zig Ziglar. I was listening to his material when I was a young man. In fact, he worked for the same cookware company as my father did, and that's where he got his start in sales. But one of the things that Zig said was, he said, you always want to give people more than what you're getting in return. In other words, he said, the way you get what you want is to help a lot of people get what they want. And so he told a story about he got a speeding ticket when he lived in North Carolina, and the next day he went to the courthouse to pay the ticket, and they were closed for lunch. So he went into the lunchroom and started carrying on a conversation with a young gal. And an older lady there said, well, you don't want to buy that cookware. That's too expensive. And he said to her, well, if you could have done this years ago, how many years of enjoyment would you have? And she said, if you could do it again, would you do it over? And she said, yes, I would. So he ended up that day selling 2 sets of cookware while waiting to pay his ticket. And the thing that was amazing to me was that the reason he did that was because he really believed he was giving more value than he was taking back. He was giving, that person was getting much more benefit. And so, to me, that's one way we express love, is the people around us, we're giving them more than we're expecting return. And whether it be in our business, whether it be in our family, or whatever our relationships are. So, Zig's really inspiration to me, and I'm sure he is to all of us. So, back to you, Paul. Thank you.
Great point. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Ebony? Was there an Ebony coming out with Bill?
Whispering in the back line.
Yeah.
Elizabeth?
Star 6, who's next?
Hello, this is Ebony. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, Ebony.
Hi, Paul. Hello, Think and Grow Rich family. This is my first time actually coming out on the call. And just what you spoke about, touch me and love in general, I felt like it was time for me to come on out and talk a little bit. I'm actually on the chapter Faith and Think and Grow Rich. I got on the call a little late, so I don't know if that was the chapter you had discussed or not. But just how they discuss emotions or the feeling portion of thoughts are the factors which give thoughts vitality, life, and action. The emotions of faith, love, and sex, when mixed with any thought impulse, give it greater action than any of these emotions can do singly. And even though I'm still young and learning as I grow each day, when a relationship I wasn't ended, I was just so upset and had a lot of anger in me, but I had to learn to forgive not only myself but the other individual as well so I could better myself and live a more peaceful life versus being bitter. And I just also wanted to read something today from my daily word which spoke on forgive and just you find peace through forgiveness. And what I wanted to read is, when I am upset, I may seek answers, believing answers will ease my pain. Yet peace comes not through logic or reason, but through spiritual understanding. While I may never know how or why something happened, I can always find peace through forgiveness. And that was all I wanted to say this morning. And I appreciate you doing this call, Paul. And I just believe in life, everyone needs love and happiness. And thank you, and I hope everyone has a blessed morning.
That is profound, Ebony. Thank you for sharing that. Wow.
Elizabeth?
Hey, Elizabeth. Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to share with the family. I was talking to a Japanese gentleman last week, and he said I love to ask, what's the difference between your country and what's the big thing between our country and his country? And he said that in America, people give more than they receive. That in Japan, they give what they receive. They give, you know, just due. However, he said that giving in America, he's in love, that people are giving more than they receive. And he said it pointed him to Christ. And I was really just excited to hear that insight, that as a community, you know, that a sharedness of giving is a possibility. So thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Chrissy from Key West.
Yes. Who is that from Key West?
Chrissy.
Hey, good morning. Chrissy, welcome.
Hi. I'm a friend of Amber's, and she got me into the phone calls, which I truly love, and I just started a couple weeks ago. And I loved when you would have your family meetings and you would tell us the questions you asked your kids. And I have a niece that's in college, and she's kind of lost, and I kind of know how she feels at that age. I kind of felt like that. And so I was sending her the questions you were asking your kids, along with some of the answers that you said that they had. And I thought it would be a great idea if you wrote a book with your family mindset and all the things that you were asking your kids, you know, like as a legacy to send on to other kids.
Well, appreciate that. Great suggestion. Yeah, I appreciate that, Chrissy. I'll definitely jot that down.
Hey, Paul.
Maybe that's
Lisa.
In my legacy. Yeah, thanks, Chrissy. Lisa, go ahead. Good morning.
Hey, okay, I'll make this quick. Hey, thank you, Richie, Paul, and my family. This part of the chapter always reminds me about, man, I'm just so happy that we read this book over and over again, because you just gain a greater appreciation just in all aspects. And you really see that, you know, if you didn't think Dr. Napoleon Hill knew what he was talking about, he really does know what he's talking about. And it just reminds you over and over again about using the power of love to fuel the desire for, you know, freedom, for success, for whatever you want to put in the blank. And it just reminds me every time I read this chapter. Of course, in my case, I'm a married woman with children. And by the way, I read an interesting fact: married men live longer. I just wanted to say that. I don't.
I didn't catch that, Lisa. What was that?
I said married men live longer. I read a fact that men who are married actually live longer. But it just reminded me that Dr. Napoleon Hill teaches us how to use all of the different emotions to our benefit. And in this case, you know, from many of us who are Christians have spoken on the call, and there is a part of attention that says love never fails. It never fails. And so it never would fail to use that emotion to cause us to love our family more. And when we love our family more, then we're going to want greater success. And that love for our spouse will cause us to desire a greater relationship. And as we have a greater relationship, then it will cause us success. So all of these roads lead to greater success. And it's all through that emotion of love, through the emotions of faith, through being able to transmute properly the desire for sex, the thoughts for sex to actually creating more success. So, you know, Napoleon Hill, you know, I just give a greater appreciation, and I just encourage us to just use all of these emotions that Dr. Napoleon Hill is saying, all of these desires, because all roads lead to ultimate success. Matthew Paul.
Great thoughts, Lisa. I love you, my friend, and I love every single person on this call. What a great call. I'm inspired. I have some new ideas for getting better in my life today, and I hope you do as well. I know you do. I want to challenge everyone. Pick one idea from today's call and begin to implement it, right? Tell someone you love them today. Maybe let's follow the example of Caroline's husband and, man, write a love note, right, to your significant other. Let's do that. Let's cultivate these relationships, my friends. I love you guys. Let's get out there, make it a great day. You have the power to make it that way, and we'll see you all back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Thanks for being you. Bye for now.